This is the B-side of the lecture, Obadiah in Modern Prophecy. Now, looking at this shortest book of the Bible, I have been trying to tell you that it may be short, but it is of prime importance in identifying the direction in which the influence of prophecy was to go as far as the land of Israel was concerned. It was to show the prime regions of the world where Israel and Judah would go. But they would keep the Sabbath. They would keep the holy days. They would be very different. Also, it does show, however, which way many people who were confused with ancient Israel, like the Edomites and the Phoenicians, which way they would go, and the influence that would be shown in the world. And believe me, I know what I'm talking about on this. This is exactly what the history has showing. And in the book of Obadiah, this is put in here to give that direction. And the Jews have understood this. I've been going through here a little bit of the introduction of Obadiah. Now let's carry right on in verse 2. Behold, I have made you small, or it means I will make you small among the heathen. Edom, the ancient Phoenicians, and the people of the past to whom this prophecy was given were some of the greatest people of commerce and mercantilism that you can imagine. They were the ones who helped Solomon to build the great temple in Jerusalem. They were the ones who had the professionalism to do that, even more than Israel had. And we have to understand that. These people were very famous. Now, they were close in kin to the ancient Israelites, and they lived in the land of Canaan, but they weren't Canaanites. They were people who were coming from Isaac and coming from Abraham. Going on, it says, the pride of thine heart hath deceived you. They had great pride. You have dwelt in the clefts of the rock in the area of Petra, and many of us have been there to that very, in that very region, whose habitation is high, that saith in the heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? That was also stated of Babylon. Babylon was to say at the end of the age, who can bring me possibly down to the ground? Here is Edom compared to ancient Babylon. Verse 4, though you exalt yourself as the eagle, I want you to notice the eagle was their symbol. The eagle was also the symbol of the ancient Romans, whom later the Jews said were descendants of these ancient Israelites. And the eagle is still being used in certain parts of Europe and certain parts of America to identify certain people today who are proud and very powerful and great in commerce and great in mercantilism. Believe it or not, I think you could probably understand who some of these people might be who have inherited the Roman culture. And you know, you take a look at the United States of America, my own country, whom I love very much. I'll tell you, you go to the Congress and you will find on one side and on the other the fasces of the ancient Romans sitting right there. And you will find that our government is very similar to the ancient Roman government with a lot of biblical things connected with it, to the extent that some of us have actually thought we might be Israelites in the past. But in actual fact, we are not Israelites. We are basically Gentiles. But the Apostle Paul and Peter and John directed their activities into northwestern Europe to be able to come to the people that are discussed in the ancient prophecies. And we are a part of the ancient Edomite people, the people who were the great Phoenicians of ancient times, the great explorers of ancient times. Now, I'm not leaving out any people from Africa. I'm not leaving out the Indians. I'm not leaving out the Chinese. They've been as great as we have. That's quite true in so many other areas. But the point is, we have to acknowledge that the biblical revelation, when it left Palestine, went into the direction of Europe for a particular reason. It did not go into Africa. It did not go into Asia at that time. It's going into those areas now because God loves every single person on earth. We're all important. We have been given, if you'll read my new booklet on ABCs of the gospel, we have been given this position not because we earned it or deserve it. It's because of an allotment, because of a lottery before even the foundation of the world. We were given this understanding or we were given this position. It could have come to any other party on earth. Believe it or not, you need to read this booklet of mine if you haven't seen that proved from the New Testament. No, it doesn't mean superiority in any way. It means that we have been given a role to play. And sometimes that role is negative, sometimes that role is positive. In regard to Esau here, Edom is at the end of the age reckoned as being the leader of all people on earth. And you're going to see it in Isaiah 34. You mark that down. Isaiah 34, that whole chapter, links right back here to Obadiah. Because Obadiah and Isaiah 34 tell us something about the end of the age, which the book of Revelation has whole sections about, and is dealing with this very nation of Edom that we're talking about right here. But this book here gives us the direction in which Edom and its influence would be going. And here it is, going on, verse 4, "Though you exalt yourself as an eagle, though you set the nest amongst the stars." People have always loved the stars as an emblem. And even on our United States flag today, we have stars, star-spangled banner, and we love the eagle. That was ancient Rome. That's ancient Edom as well. Absolutely. And you know this Edom came from Mount Seir, as they say, near Petra. Well, Mount Seir in the Hebrew or the Phoenician language, they took that name right into Spain. And I'll show you this a little bit later on. And they even named mountain ranges after the Mount Seir that you find in the Bible. And they called them the Sierra Nevada Mountains in Spain. And you find the same thing in California today. It's just people being carried right on over into these areas of the world coming directly out of Palestine. He says this, "If thieves come to you, if robbers by night, how art you cut off?" A time is coming when Edom is going to be cut off for doing a particular thing. And you're going to find out what that is in just a moment. "Till they be stolen, till they be had enough. If the grape gatherers come to you, shall they not leave some grapes?" It means a great destruction is going to come. "How are the things of Esau?" Now that's the other name for Edom. This is the hairy one. This is the one who had a hairy garment on him from birth. If you will look at Zechariah chapter 13, and I believe it's about verse 4, yes it is, it speaks about that the false prophets of this world love to put on hairy garments, and they like to deceive. And Edom was known as the great deceiver, and their garments were always red, always red. And you know, I'll tell you this, just think about church denomination today that loves to have their leaders dressed primarily in red. The ancient Jews knew exactly who those people were. They called them the descendants of Edom, who have taken over a type of religion close to Israel, but always persecuting Israel. And the Jews, from the time of the Talmudic period on, have reckoned the Christianity that they are reckoned, they've come in contact with, as the religion of Edom. That's what they've called it, and they still call it that to this very day. I'll tell you, there are reasons why they did that. There are even historical reasons why they did. And we need to understand some of these things. This is why the book of Obadiah is going to come about as being one of the major books of Revelation as we come in toward the time of the end. We're going to learn much more about this. I absolutely feel we will. And going on to speak about a great confederacy that the Edomites have had a part in. And these Edomites here have had a part in a confederacy. It says, "All the men of your confederacy," chapter 7. If you want to know what that confederacy is, go back to Psalm 82, and you will find a confederacy of 10 nations that are mentioned there. And who is the first nation that is mentioned as a part of it? The nation happens to be, I said 82, I meant 83, Psalm 83. In verse 6, verse 5 mentions the confederacy, and verse 6 mentions Edom. Edom is the first of the nations that happened to be mentioned in this confederacy. Now, this has historical relevance to it in the past, but it also is going to be repeated in the future near the day of the Lord. That's the point I'm trying to bring out. He's going on to say about the mighty men of Egypt, Edom, verse 9, "And your mighty men, Teman, shall be dismayed to the end that every one of Mount of Esau shall be cut off by a slaughter." Now why? "Because of the violence against your brother Jacob." Back at that time, the Edomites in the 8th century before Christ, and also at the time of Nebuchadnezzar, the 6th century, we find that they joined the confederacy of the Babylonians against the Israelites and against the Jews. That is what Obadiah is speaking about here historically. But at the end of the age, Edom, who should be a brother to Jacob, according to the prophecies, will at the last moment cut off the Israelites or the Jews who will be fleeing from Jerusalem, and they will cut them off, and they will not allow them to escape. That is what this whole prophecy is about. You read the prophecy, and you will find that that is the case. It goes on to say in verse 14, here's the condemnation against this Edom. You have stood in the crossway. You cut those off that did escape, that is from Jerusalem, of Jacob. Neither should you have delivered up those of his that did remain in the day of distress, because they were your brothers. They were very close kin, and you cut them off. Now, that's what the prophecy says. Now, when is this day? Verse 15. For the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen. As you have done, it shall be done unto you. Your reward shall return upon your own head for what you have done in the future against your Jewish or brothers who are of Jacob. Now, this is a future event. I don't exactly know what that event is going to be at this moment. All I know is that the prophecies say that in the day of the Lord, just before the second coming of Christ, the Jews are going, or those of Jacob, are going to be in a very difficult circumstance, and the people of Edom, who are going to be powerful and in great authority and mighty, are going to turn against the Jews at this very moment. What we need to do is to look carefully at this, because I do not know exactly where to fit it in chronologically yet, but what we need to do is to keep our eyes open. This is a prophecy for the future. It goes on to say that for the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen, all the nations of the world. As you have done, it shall be done unto you. 4, verse 16, as you have drunk upon my holy mountain, the holy mountain of Zion, so shall all the heathen drink continually. In other words, you have reaped the blessings of my holy mountain and all of that, but look what you're doing at the present time to your brother people who are those of Jacob. They shall swallow down, and they shall be seen as though they had not been. But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, God promises, and be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. And the house of Jacob shall be a fire, the house of Joseph a flame, the house of Esau for stubble, because of what they did to the brother tribes of Jacob at this major incident that is going to happen in the future, just before the day of the Lord. And it goes on to say this in the end of verse 18, and those who remain of the house of Esau, for the Lord has spoken it, and they of the south, that is the south country of Canaan, shall possess Mount Esau, and they that are in the plains of the Philistines, that's the Gaza Strip, and they, Israel, shall possess the fields of Ephraim, the fields of Samaria in central Palestine, and Benjamin, and they shall possess Gilead, which is the whole kingdom of Jordan. One of these days, the Israelites will possess that. Now look at verse 20 and 21. Here you get the direction in which this prophecy is intended. And it's the direction that the ancient Jews have understood for generations. And I want to point it out to you here. It concerns the people of Edom. It also concerns the people of Israel and the people of Judah, how they've been close to one another with Esau, and how that actually Esau has supported them in many cases. But here's what's going to happen. Verse 20. And the captivity of this host, or the great army of the children of Israel, it goes on to say in the King James Version, forget those italicized words there, because they didn't really understand what they were talking about here. And so it speaks about the land of Canaan, the Canaanites, the cities, two cities in the land of Canaan are going to figure in prominently as far as the captivity of the children of Israel are concerned. One of them is Zarephath. That will occupy the captivity of Jerusalem. And the other is Sepharad. They shall possess the cities of the south. Then it says in verse 21, the last verse, and Savior shall come upon Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's, period, from then on. Now, what does it mean here, then? Two cities picked out on the coast of Palestine. They are not Tyre. They are not Sidon. The two cities that are picked are Zarephath, and the other is Sepharad. Now, what is Sepharad? Sepharad was a city of the Tyrians, or the ancient Phoenicians, on the coast of Palestine. So was Zarephath. You can find it on a map. These two cities here were on the Mediterranean. Now, in ancient times, what the Phoenicians did was this. They established colonies in the western part of the Mediterranean. Their central mother area was back at Tyre, Sidon, Zarephath, and Sepharad. And, well, I should say Sepharad here. In these cities on the Palestinian coast. Now, what they did was this. Like today, if you go on an airplane, let's say, to anywhere in Europe from the United States, you go to New York, and you can go from there anywhere in the world, practically. Or if you're in London, and you go to Heathrow Airport, you can go from there anywhere in the world. They did not do it that way in the ancient times. If you wanted to go to a particular nation, you went to the city on the Phoenician coast that had ships that went to that nation, that had ships that would take the products of that nation, so that when they would come back to the Middle East, people from Babylon, Assyria, and other areas would come to that city to get the products from that area in the west where they were trading. These two cities here, Zarephath, and the other is Sepharad, they were the two cities which had connections with Western Europe. That's what I'm going to show. Western Europe. And the Jews have always recognized that the city of Zarephath, which was an Edomite city of the Phoenicians, was the city that traded with what we call France today, Marseille and France, on the southern part of the Mediterranean of France. They say that the people of Zarephath are the people of France. Now, what about this other city, Sepharad? Sepharad was the city on the Mediterranean that traded with the Iberian Peninsula. The Iberian Peninsula, that's Spain and Portugal. And that area was known as, to the ancient Jews, the area of Sepharad. In fact, many Jews migrated to Spain and that area. And because they migrated to Spain, they were called the Sepharadim Jews, because they migrated to Spain. They were in Europe. They were amongst the people of Edom who settled in those areas, and the Phoenicians. But ancient Spain, according to prophecy, was known as Sepharad. Ancient France was known in prophecy as Zarephath. And that is where the Edomites themselves established many of their early commercial cities to trade with Europe, so that the European produce and commerce would come back into Palestine, into the Phoenician areas, and there being traded into Babylon, the rest of Asia Minor, Assyria, or wherever, into Egypt and places of that nature. What you find here in this Obadiah is a prophecy about Edom of the past, which has a future relevance. A future relevance for the day of the Lord. Now, this is highly interpretive. I must admit that. I am not sure I understand every last bit of the prophecy yet, but as we are getting closer to the time of the end, we will understand it even more. I'm calling this prophecy to your attention because the ancient Jews used to look upon it as a major prophecy to show the influence of Judaism in the world, that it would go, though they would be scattered into all nations of the world, the prime influence would be into the western part of Europe, and to France, and to Italy and France, and also into Spain. And great colonies of Jews went with the Phoenicians into Spain. Even as early as the time of Solomon, we find records that the Jews have maintained showing a contact between people in Palestine and even Jews in Spain living there at that time. Jews continued to live in Spain until the year 1492 A.D., the very year that Columbus left Spain and went to the New World. And in actual fact, it's most interesting, the first bit of information in Columbus's log that he had in his ship was that he found so many Jews being expelled from Spain. And that day was the 9th and 10th of Ab, which was the great fast day that the ancient Jews have always celebrated. It was the day on which Jerusalem was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar and the temple in the 6th century B.C. It was actually the same day that the temple was destroyed by the Romans, whom they considered to be the Edomites, in 70 A.D. And that was the very day that Columbus had his first entry into his log that the Jews were then expelled from Sepharad, Spain, and from that time forward they have not been allowed in the country as a whole. They can go back, you know, a little bit here and there, but not as a whole. The Jews have looked upon this as very significant in a prophetic sense, and I believe that it is. Now, when you go to Isaiah chapter 34, I want to read you the chapter in Isaiah here that has to do with this Edom. And when I read this, you're going to be picking up things that you think are coming from the book of Revelation. And indeed, they are from the book of Revelation, because John, who writing under inspiration of Christ himself, referred back to Isaiah 34 here, connecting with Edom, this very nation. Edom means mankind. It means those who represent all of mankind. And though it was a single nation, it was a nation destined to rule over all mankind at the end time. And in actual fact, many people have thought that the Antichrist system itself, who would rule all mankind, would be the 666, the number of a man. And the word man in Hebrew means Edom or Adam. Isaiah 34, "Come you near, you nations," says Isaiah, "to hear and hearken, you people. Let the earth hear," just not a little bit of it, but the whole earth, "and all that is therein, the world and all things that come forth of it." Now I'm in Isaiah 34, verse 1. "For the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations, his fury upon all their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them, he hath delivered them to the slaughter. Their slain shall he cast out, and their stink shall come out of their carcasses, and the mountains shall be melted with their blood, and all the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll." Have you heard of that in the book of Revelation? Absolutely, quoted by John himself. All right, this is Isaiah 34. "And all the hosts shall fall down, as the leaf falls off the vine, as the falling fig from the fig tree. For my sword," God says, "shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Idumea." Now, that is the King James translation of these people who wrote this. There were 6 different committees of translators that translated the King James Version. Whereas one group would say Edom, another group would say Idumea. It means the same thing in Hebrew. It's Edom. The very prophecy we're talking about in Obadiah, just 21 verses long, dealing with the day of the Lord, how that all nations are going to be involved in it, and mainly, though, nations into the western part of from Palestine. Well, here we find, "The great sword shall come upon Edom, upon the people of my curse to judgment. The sword of the Lord is filled with blood. It is made fat with fatness, with the blood of lambs and goats, with the fat of kidneys of rams. For the Lord hath a sacrifice in Bozrah," that was an ancient capital city of Edom, "a great slaughter in the land of Edom. And the unicorn shall come down with them," that just means the bulls, "and the bullocks with the bulls. Their land shall be soaked with blood, their dust made fat with fatness. For it's the day of the Lord's vengeance, and the year of the recompenses for the controversy of Zion." Edom is going to do something to Zion and to Jerusalem which is going to be bad. It happened in the past, and something's going to happen in the future. That's what this prophecy is about. "And the streams thereof of Edom shall be turned into pitch, the dust thereof into brimstone. The land thereof shall become burning pitch. It shall not be quenched, neither days. The smoke thereof shall go up for the aeons. From generation to generation it shall lie waste. None shall pass through it for the generations of the generations, or the ages of the ages." It goes on to say that evil animals will possess it, just like ancient Babylon. The same verses that we find pertaining in chapter 14 of the book of Isaiah, dealing with Babylon, are the same verses at the end of the age that are dealing here with Edom also at the end of the age. These verses right here were taken out of this very context and put into the 17th and the 18th chapters of the book of Revelation. They are dealing with the end time. And also in the book of Revelation, it speaks about the great mercantile commercial system and all of that which the world is going to love and all of that. That has to do with the ancient Phoenicians. And by the way, the king of Tyre, the angelic power, which was the king of Tyre, and mentioned in Ezekiel 28, which some people think was Satan the devil, is not the case, but an ancient cherub that was there in the temple of God in Jerusalem, along with another cherub. One of the cherubs happens to be Melchizedek, who was king of Salem, that is Jerusalem, and the other cherub was, believe it or not, the king of Tyre. And you can read it right there in Ezekiel chapter 28. The king of Tyre was one of those cherubs. The king of Salem was the other cherub. Melchizedek was the king of Salem, and the king of Tyre was the other angel in the holy temple of God. That's how close those two cherubs are to one another, and both of them were in the Garden of Eden back there. The angels that control, the cherubs that control Tyre, are very important. And when you read my new book that's coming out soon on the angels, I'm going to have a tremendous amount in there about who the king of Tyre, this angelic power, is and how it deals with the end of the age. Keep your eyes on prophecy. Obadiah is important. It gives the direction in which you have to look for the end time coming from Palestine. And Isaiah 34 gives you the teaching of the summing up of the end time of how God deals with the heathen before he establishes his kingdom on this earth. This concludes the B-side of the lecture, Obadiah in Modern Prophecy.